Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Dan Friedel, Katie Weaver, and Pete Musto. Later, Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, the government of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has often had a difficult relationship with the Internet. The government has repeatedly attempted to restrict news and social media websites during times of political unrest. The restrictions do not generally last very long or appear effective. Many Internet users in Turkey have turned to tools such as VPN or Tor to avoid the measures. However, the Erdogan government's thinking about the Internet may be hardening after recent events. They include the recent attack on an Istanbul nightclub, the killing of Russia's ambassador, and the government overthrow attempt by a military group. Observers and civil society groups say the Erdogan administration has been moving to restrict Internet and mobile phone access to the rest of the World Wide Web. They add that, for the first time, the administration is showing no signs of backing off anytime soon. The Turkish leader has made clear that he does not like social media. Erdogan has criticized Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. "To me, social media is the worst menace to society," he said at a 2013 event. Zeynep Tufekci is an expert on technology and society at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She says Erdogan wants to show that social media hurts families and society. The reason for his statements and periodic blocking of social media sites, she says, is to try to keep the public's attention away from critical or embarrassing stories online. Erdogan likely still has enough supporters to win elections, but to continue to win, he needs to keep them off social media, Tufekci told VOA. His game is to scare them about all that comes from social media. Some researchers fear that the Erdogan government's recent suppression of free expression is a sign of things to come. When there's an attack, say an explosion, nationwide restrictions are often imposed, said Alp Toker, a researcher and spokesperson with the organization Turkey Blocks. "What is new and more troubling," says Toker, "is that these restrictions come with efforts to block links to Tor or VPN providers. These tools are popular for going around online censorship." Such services were restricted last month after the murder of the Russian ambassador to Turkey. In recent months, many media workers have also been imprisoned. These developments have many worried about what people can say. "People are afraid of speaking up, especially online," Toker said. Free speech activists say that there may still be hope. Toker says Turkey can still win back its internet freedom, but only if lawmakers and technology companies around the world start to notice what is happening. He added that the rest of the world, particularly the U.S. and Europe, would be well advised to take a look at the situation in countries like Turkey and step up the effort to defend their own digital liberties.
South Korean officials hoped 2017 would start with building excitement for the Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang. The Games begin on February 9, 2018.
But instead, the country faces a political scandal involving President Park Geun-hye.
South Korea's Constitutional Court now has begun considering Park's impeachment.
The charges against Park involve her ties to longtime friend Choe Soon-sil.
Choe is on trial for fraud and abuse of power.
Hundreds of thousands of people have protested the relationship between the two women, leading to Park's impeachment. Park is accused of letting Choe influence her personal and political life. Opponents say Park pressured businesses to make large donations to organizations controlled by Choe.
Myung-ji Yang is a political science professor at the University of Hawaii. She writes about politics in South Korea.
She says the people of South Korea will be unhappy leading up to the Olympics if Park and Choe are not punished enough.
If they get really punished in a light way, I think people will be really frustrated, and then people will feel again like, you know, there is no hope about this society to have fairness or equality.
Regardless of the result, South Koreans will choose a new president this year before the games take place. Some South Koreans are worried about the 2018 Olympic Games. Pyeongchang is a remote ski area in the country's northeast. So far, it has struggled to raise people's interest. Pyeongchang is in the Gangwon province. Its governor, Choe Moon-soon, told Yonhap News that it has been difficult to create excitement for the games so far.
They've been overshadowed by the political situation, he said. It's our priority to raise national and global interest.
The political unrest combined with limited excitement has hurt sponsorship for the games. That means big businesses have not yet spent a lot of money on advertising for the Olympics. The Pyeongchang Organizing Committee, known as POCOG, told VOA it fell a little short of last year's target of $778.5 million for sponsorships. Kim Yoo-jin is the manager of international media relations for the games. Kim said more sponsorships will be announced this year. It may not be correct to say that the firms are reluctant to support Pyeongchang 2018 due to the current scandal, but considering its promotional effect, we are in close discussions with the firms. There is also debate between the national government and the provincial government about who should be paying for the Olympic preparations. The costs are currently about $12 billion. POCOG says it hopes upcoming events in Pyeongchang will increase interest in the coming games. Ticket sales for the Pyeongchang Games start in February. South Korea's popular music artists and movie stars are also expected to bring international attention to the 2018 Olympics. Pocog hopes plans involving the central government will include some of these famous people. They should be able to spread the word about the games outside of Korea, where Korean music, television shows, and movies are popular. This is not the first time South Korea has prepared for the Olympics during a time of political unrest. The country held its first democratic elections 1 year before the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul. Observers say the Olympics kept politicians in South Korea accountable, since they knew the world would be watching before the games. Michael Breen is an author based in Seoul. He covered the 1988 Olympic Games.
Had the Olympics not been there, the dictatorship might have misbehaved. But the whole world was watching Korea then, the Olympics were waiting. But that was the role that the Olympics served. It helped to restrain the dictatorship and allow democracy to happen.
Both Breen and Yang said the current protests against President Park are not like the ones 30 years ago.
Yang remembers living in South Korea then and said protesters risked their lives to take part.
Nowadays, the demonstrations are more like, you know, festival-like and family-oriented. So I think the atmosphere are completely different.
Yang says that is evidence that South Korea is more stable today than in the 1980s. In spite of the current unrest, Breen said he is confident South Korea will put on a fantastic event in 2018. I'm Dan Friedel.
New efforts are underway to make American college campuses and public housing off-limits to cigarette smoking. 20 colleges in the United States recently received grants to help make their campuses tobacco-free. And in November, U.S. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro announced that smoking will become illegal at all public housing over the next 18 months. The Federal Housing Department has over 1 million homes. Every child deserves to grow up in a safe, healthy home, free from harmful secondhand cigarette smoke, Castro said. The move to ban smoking at public housing units and college campuses follows approval of state laws banning smoking at most workplaces.
The Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids reports that 27 American states ban smoking in all indoor workplaces, including restaurants. California became the first state to ban smoking at most workplaces in 1995. 32 countries had banned smoking at most workplaces as of 2012, the Tobacco Atlas reports. Those supporting smoke-free workplaces, public housing, and college campuses give one major reason: the negative health effects of smoking. The Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization say the health effects of smoking are large. The CDC says cigarette smoking is the leading cause of preventable deaths in the United States. Smoking accounts for 480,000 deaths every year, it says.
A New York City smokers' rights group opposes the new ban on smoking at public housing units. Audrey Silk is founder of Citizens Lobbying Against Smoker Harassment. She wrote to President-elect Donald Trump asking him to stop the ban after he becomes president on January 20th. Silk says officials are going too far in trying to stop people from using a legal product. She told Trump the new federal housing rule would force old or sick people to walk outside their homes to smoke, even when the weather is bad. At stake is the right of U.S. citizens to be left alone to engage in illegal activity in the privacy of one's own home, Silk said.
But supporters of smoking bans and smoke-free areas say the bad effects of secondhand smoke make it a public health issue. Some also say that college campuses are a good place to limit or ban smoking. Gary Reedy is chief executive officer of the American Cancer Society, which recently announced anti-smoking grants to 20 U.S. colleges. He said it is important to stop college students from smoking to be successful in creating a tobacco-free generation. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 13% of adults between the ages of 18 and 24 smoke cigarettes. Reedy said that reducing the number of college students who smoke can lead to reduced smoking rates among older adults. His reasoning? Once a person starts smoking, it is hard to stop, Reedy says.
The CVS Health Foundation is providing $3.6 million for the anti-smoking grants. The foundation was started by the American drugstore company, CVS. CVS stopped selling cigarettes in 2014. The American Cancer Society says about one-third of America's 4,700 college campuses are already smoke-free. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Pete Musto.
This is What's Trending Today. World records can be set, even if you are over 100 years old. Robert Marchand was born in 1911 in northern France. He enjoys riding a bicycle and started cycling seriously when he was in his 60s. Marchand is now 105 years old. On Wednesday, a crowd gathered at the Vélodrome National, about 30 kilometers outside of Paris. They were there to see how far he could travel in 1 hour. The record for 1 hour is held by Britain's Bradley Wiggins, a former Tour de France winner. Wiggins covered 54.5 kilometers in 2015. Evelyn Stevens of the United States holds the women's record. She went almost 48 kilometers in an hour last year. In 2012, Marchand set a record for riders over 100 years old when he traveled almost 27 kilometers in an hour. So the question many people asked this week was, could he break his own record? Marchand set off on his record attempt as sports lovers cheered and photographers watched. He moved slowly but steadily around the cycling track. Marchand is relatively small. He is only 1.52 meters tall and weighs 52 kilograms. When the hour ended, he completed 92 times around the track. That is just over 22.5 kilometers. After the event, Marchand said he could have done better. He did not see his trainers telling him he only had 10 minutes remaining. "I would have gone faster. I would have posted a better time," he said. But the news was still good, as he did set a new record for riders 105 years old or older. "I'm now waiting for a rival," he said. And that's what's trending today. I'm Jill Robbins. From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. This is the last in our four-part series on verb tenses. Make sure you see our episodes on progressive and perfect tenses before trying to learn the perfect progressive tenses. For English learners, the perfect progressive tenses can be scary, but they are more straightforward than you might think. When you talk about grammar, perfect means complete, and progressive means unfinished. Perfect progressive sentences focus on the completion of an action that is, was, or will be in progress. Think about this sentence in the past perfect progressive.
I had been waiting for 3 years by the time my application was approved.
In this example, the emphasis is on duration of the first verb, waiting. Perfect progressive tenses often answer the question, how long? There are three perfect progressive tenses: the present perfect progressive, the past perfect progressive, and the future perfect progressive.
Let's start with the present perfect progressive. You form the present perfect progressive by using have been or has been, followed by an ing verb. For instance,
she has been sitting in class since early this morning.
The action, sitting, is continuing. But the emphasis is on the completed part of the action. Here are some more examples.
I have been waiting for 20 minutes. I have been studying since I was a child. It has been snowing all day long.
In all of these sentences, the emphasis is on how the finished activity relates to the present. A time reference is not required to use the present perfect progressive. Sometimes, we use it to refer to recently completed actions. Imagine your friend comes to your house with red, puffy eyes. You might say,
"Your eyes are red. Have you been crying?"
Or you notice that a coworker is looking tanned. You might ask,
"You look tanned. Have you been sunbathing?"
Remember that stative verbs cannot be used in any progressive tense. A stative verb describes unchanging situations, often mental states such as realize, appear, and seem. You should not say,
"I've been knowing you for a long time."
If you have a stative verb, use the present perfect.
"I have known you for a long time."
Almost all native speakers will contract or shorten the pronoun that comes before have or has.
"I have been"
will sound like
"I've been."
Expert grammarian and teacher Betty Azar tells English learners,
"Don't expect slow, careful pronunciation of helping verbs in normal conversation. Let us move on to the past perfect progressive. The past perfect progressive emphasizes the duration of a past action before another action happened. For example,
"I had been smoking for 10 years before I quit."
You form the past perfect progressive by using had been followed by an ing verb. Notice how the past perfect progressive often includes the adverbs for and since to express duration. You will also see the adverbs before, when, or by the time used to introduce a second action. The second action uses the simple past tense. Here are some more examples.
"I had been studying for 12 years by the time I graduated from high school. She had been living there since she was a child. He had been teaching for 12 years before he was certified."
The past perfect progressive can also describe a recently completed action. For instance,
"My clothes were wet because it had been raining. He was talking loudly because he had been drinking." We will end with the future perfect progressive. The future perfect progressive describes the duration of an action as it relates to a future event. There are two ways to form the future perfect progressive. Both require two actions. One is by using will have been plus a present participle, followed by when or by the time and the second action. For example,
"I will have been working for 35 years by the time I retire."
Notice that the second planned action, retire, is in the simple present. The simple future is never used with the second action. The other way to form the future perfect progressive is using be plus going to have been, plus a present participle followed by when or by the time and the second action. The order of the actions can be reversed with either form. For example,
"By the time the plane arrives, I am going to have been waiting for 5 hours.
With the future perfect progressive, it is not always clear if the ing verb started in the past or will start in the future. For example,
"The doctor will have been working for 24 hours by the time his shift is finished."
The future perfect progressive is rare because it is difficult to know the duration of an activity relative to another future event. And those are the three perfect progressive tenses in English.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.